Well, good afternoon, everyone. It is an exciting and fun time of year. Happy Advent. First day of the Christmas season. Yay! All the kids get the chocolate out of the calendar right now, so that's a happy day at our house, I'll tell you that. A few weeks ago, in our home group, we were discussing the Holy Spirit. We were talking about what it feels like to have the Holy Spirit move in you, what it's like and how you react to it, how you respond to it. And this, I think, is important for us to remember at this time of year especially. Because during the month of Advent, in December and the weeks leading up to December, we oftentimes focus on the birth of Christ, right? I mean, it's Christmas time. And there's nothing wrong with that, of course. It's a wonderful, miraculous event, you know, our God coming to earth in human form for our sakes, taking on flesh for us. That's a magnificent, miraculous, holy, wonderful thing to celebrate. So there's nothing wrong with celebrating the birth of Christ during Christmas time, of course. But it's important at this time to remember that we're not just celebrating an event that happened in the past. We're not just going to spend this time thinking about this one event that took place a little over 2,000 years ago. Because what did Christ say before he ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of God? He said, I am leaving so another may come, so the counselor may come and be with you. The Holy Spirit with us here right now. And we need to remember this, because the Holy Spirit also plays a significant role in the Christmas story, right? We're going to be in the book of Luke today, and we're going to be talking about right at the beginning of the Christmas story, and the Holy Spirit's going to be playing a very significant role in this. It's about how the Holy Spirit is received, because there's certain things you can do when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. When the Holy Spirit visits you and indwells you, there's different things that you can respond with. You can embrace it. You can let the Holy Spirit work in and through you. You can ignore it. Or you can quash the Holy Spirit. Three different responses. And it should be the first one, right? We feel the Holy Spirit coming on us. We should want to embrace it, right? We shouldn't want to be like, oh, no, I don't want to deal with that. Or, nah, I don't have time for this right now. When we feel the moving of the Holy Spirit, we should respond to it. But what does that look like? This is the discussion we had in our home group. What does it look like? What does it feel like? What should you do? Right? And because everybody, it may be different. It might be different for Sarah than it is for me. Well, happily, we have an example here in today's scripture in the book of Luke to kind of help us walk through this. So we're going to start in verses 39 to 41. Eventually, we're going to start in verses 39 to 41. You got the B team on the projector today. I'm just kidding. He's on Facebook. Oh, wait, there's a projector. Okay. All right. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. She was filled with the Holy Spirit. So what does this tell us? The first thing they tell us is that the revelation that she's about to offer, that we're going to get into here in just a second, is from God. The second thing is that this revelation is purposeful. This establishes a secure home for Mary. You got to remember why Mary is going to visit her cousin, right? Because Mary is pregnant and she's unwed. This is not a popular condition to be in Israel at this time. And we have to remember also who Elizabeth is. She's the wife of a church leader. Her husband, Zechariah, is a priest in the temple. If you remember the story, she becomes pregnant because an angel visits Zechariah in the Holy of Holies, right? So this is a rather important person in this town, a rather significant person. And her unwed, pregnant cousin coming to visit her would put her in an awkward position, right? Taking in this young girl would not look good in the community, especially not for the wife of a prominent church leader. But the Holy Spirit had already blessed Elizabeth and Zechariah. They had already received this miraculous visitation from the Holy Spirit, right? She's in her old age. She's become pregnant with what will eventually be John the Baptist. So Elizabeth knows what the Spirit feels like. She knows what it's like to be visited by the hand of God. She knows that the promise of God is good. She's experienced it, so she's receptive to it. So when her baby leaps and she is filled with the Holy Spirit, she receives this revelation. Because she knows what it is, she receives it, and she responds to it. Now see, of all the people who would have reason to be like, no, I don't want this revelation right now, she's got a pretty good reason, right? But she receives it and she responds to it. And what does she say? In verse 42, in a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear." She exclaims loudly. She does not keep it in. The Spirit moves on her and she announces it with confidence. Keep in mind, this is not a cool thing to say, right? Mary shows up and she's like, "Woohoo, yeah, you're pregnant, yay!" You know? Everybody knows you're not married. It's not something you want to be announcing loudly for the whole village around you to hear, right? But she proclaims it with confidence because she is ecstatic with the filling of the Holy Spirit. So when this happens to you, if you've had the Holy Spirit visit you, if you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, how do you react? Are you also overjoyed and uplifted? Buoyed? Probably. However, sometimes that experience can be quashed by social pressure or self-doubt. We begin to question and contain. The Holy Spirit comes on you and brings you a word of revelation or fills you with an ecstatic joy during worship or something else like that. Your first thought may not be to raise your hands and praise God, you know. Your first thought might be, "Well, oh, no one else is raising their hands. I'll just have my Holy Spirit experience like this. Yay!" Or you may start to doubt, like, "Oh, this is it, this is it. Wait, is this really the Holy Spirit? Is this just Dee's banoffee pie? Is that, why am I so happy, you know? That's two sermons it's been in now. That's how much I love it." So, but we question it, we contain it, you know? We're like, "Well, you know, is this really what's supposed to be happening?" And that's the same thing that happens to Elizabeth. We can see the next one in verse 43. "But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Why me? Why am I worthy? Who am I? Keep in mind, this is a woman who has already experienced a miracle. She didn't hear about a miracle. She didn't read about it in the paper. She experienced it. A miraculous visitation of the Lord, both her and her husband. Even this mighty and faithful woman of God started having doubts. Why me? Am I the right one to hear this? So the next time you have a feeling of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit moves on you, and you have doubts, or you quash the experience because you're embarrassed or you're unsure, remember that it's okay. It's okay to feel like that. We're still human. We still have doubts. We still get embarrassed. We still feel the pressure of social anxiety, right? So it's okay to feel like that. But the key is to not stay there. To not let that self-doubt, to not let that social pressure close off the experience, shut it down. Because she doesn't. We can see in the next verse, the very next verse, 44 and 45. She says, as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. She goes right back to testifying. She had the experience. She receives this revelation. She's joyful. Then she's like, oh, wait, maybe this really isn't for me. Maybe I'm not the one to be having this. But then she's like, nope, I know it. I felt it. The baby in my womb leapt. I know it's the Holy Spirit, and this is what the Holy Spirit has to say for you. She immediately goes back to testifying. And what does she say? Blessed is she who believed the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. This has not happened yet. We are still a long way off from God's promise being fulfilled here. Right now, Mary is just pregnant. She's received the revelation of the Holy Spirit and she's become pregnant, but that's it. She's gotten the promise, but seen no fruition of it. At this point, it's just taking it on faith. You can always tell I'm about ready to launch into a personal story because I start with I've noticed that. Have you picked that out yet? I go, it's about ready to be a personal anecdote. A lot of you know I used to run restaurants for a living. For like 13, 14 years, I worked in corporate restaurants and so forth. And in that environment, it's a rather, I guess you could say, high-pressure area to work in. Pretty much anything to do with sales or hospitality is like that. If you're not making money, then they look for someone else, right? There's no corporate loyalty in the restaurant world. If you got 3 bad months in a row, then you need to start putting your resume together. Doesn't matter if you've been with the company for 20 years. So after 13 years in this industry, where I'm just, you know, banging my head against the wall, always trying to get sales, always trying to put a positive spin on anything bad that happened, you know, having all these meetings and so on and so forth, I got tired of this, right? And I was like, if I owned my own place, I wouldn't have to worry about that. I wouldn't have to worry about making sales every 3 months because, well, if I didn't make sales, I just, you know, I'd make less money, but I couldn't fire myself, right? So I spent some time thinking about it and praying about it, and you know, and it was like, okay, this is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to go and open our own restaurant. And so I told Deanna about it, and then Deanna had a revelation. She's in her prayer closet one day. This is back in the United States, so we have extra closets, so one of them could be a prayer closet. You can't really do that here, but she's in her prayer closet, and she gets the word. She gets this word from God. And God just expressly tells her, let him do it. It's not going to work out, but I'll carry you. Now, to put this in an even starker context, she's pregnant right now with Eliana. And for those of you unfamiliar with the way things work in the United States, your employment and your insurance are tied together. You don't get NHS coverage, right? And me opening my own business meant that, yeah, the medical insurance was not there. So she's pregnant, I'm going to start this restaurant, and God's telling her basically, yeah, it's not going to work out, but I'll carry you. So obviously she's a little upset about this, a little angry about this, but for over a year, she never told me about that. For the entire first year and into the second year of the restaurant, she was the most supportive wife you could imagine. I mean, all the time, just uplifting prayer and talk and all kinds of stuff like that. If I have a bad day, she's like, no, it's going to work out. It's going to work out. Just encouraging me the whole time. And then right at the end, I was like, okay, God's calling us in a different direction. We're going to sign the restaurant over. She's like, praise God. He told me 2 years ago it wasn't going to work out. I was like, what? What didn't you tell me back then? She's like, because God told me to let you do it. I'm like, okay. But she received the promise that God was going to carry us through that and that we were going to have better things on the horizon. And she had no indication leading up to that that was going to happen, right? It wasn't like God was showing up every other day, you know, tapping her on the shoulder. By the way, Deanna, it's fine. I'm still here. No. For 2 years, she just kind of carried that and kept encouraging me the whole time. And then the promise was fulfilled. The same kind of thing we have here with Mary right now. She has the promise. At the Immaculate Conception, she has the promise at that moment, But it's not like, you know, God has an angel assigned to walk around with Mary every day, like tap her on the shoulder. Don't worry. It's going to work out. It's going to be fine. At this point, you know, she doesn't know what's going to happen. But she's believing in the promise of God, and that is what Elizabeth is sharing with her. Blessed are you because you're believing in the promise of God. She testifies in the Spirit that Mary is blessed for having faith. And then we have Mary's response. Go to verse 46 and 47. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." So what do we have here? Relief, joy at the confirmation of the promise. Keep in mind, like I said, she's human. She has her own doubts as well. And she's dealing with an enormous amount of social pressure from her community, from her family, from her supposed to be husband at the time. But she received this Lord and she believed. No confirmation. In fact, she's getting confirmation. This is the first she's heard of it. There's nothing in the Bible that says after Mary received this word and became pregnant with Jesus Christ, there's nothing in there that says someone came up to her in between time and was like, "Yeah, I believe you. I think that really was God. You know what? I know that you weren't messing around. I know it wasn't some Roman soldier you were hooking up with. I know that that's God that made you pregnant." There's no record of anybody saying that in the Bible. I guess it could have happened. But I imagine if it did happen, it'd be in the Bible somewhere. This is the first time she's had confirmation. Someone else saying, "Yes, I know that God was in this for you. You didn't imagine it. You weren't hallucinating. This is real, and you are blessed because of it." And why is she receiving this? Because the Holy Spirit moved in Elizabeth. This is not Mary's revelation. This is the Holy Spirit moving on Elizabeth and Elizabeth sharing that revelation with her. So when you feel the moving of the Holy Spirit, it may not be just for you. There are others around that you may need to be encouraging to, just like Deanna was encouraging to me. And now, I'm not talking about prophecy here, okay? That's a whole another kettle of fish. Prophecy can sometimes be misinterpreted or abused, and even some cases when someone says, "I have a word of prophecy for you. You know, the Lord spoke to me and told me to tell you about this." You have to be very careful when someone offers you a word of prophecy, okay? I mean, very careful. Like, I wrote it in all caps here in my notes, even though you guys don't see my notes. That's how important I'm telling you this is. Be very careful when someone offers you a word of prophecy. But Elizabeth is not offering prophecy here. Elizabeth is offering encouragement. Blessed is she who has believed in the Lord's promise. I mean, I have felt led of the Spirit in conversations to share stuff sometimes. I'm talking with somebody maybe on something completely unrelated, and I feel the moving of the Spirit, and I'm like, "You know what? I want to talk to you about this, or I want to share this with you." No real indication why. Just I feel the moving of the Spirit, and so I share. And oftentimes, I've had people say, "Wow, I really needed to hear that. I have no idea why I said it or why I was involved in that conversation, but people are like, yep, I needed to hear that." Up here, a lot of times, I talk about stuff that I don't write down. I mean, you see my notes, it's just like a bunch of little one-line things here, just kind of keep me on track so I don't like go off on rabbit trails. But I mean, it's not all scripted out. And sometimes I'll be talking about something and I just felt led to say something else, and I'll say something else. It just kind of pours out. Even when I'm writing this out, when I'm doing my notes and I'm going through the scripture and things like that. I mean, I'll write like 1,200 words sometimes in like 4 minutes. Just... But it's not for me. It may not be for all of you. It may just be one person in this room. But it's not just for me. It's not just self-focused. I'm not, if it were that, I'd just write this at home, record it myself, and listen to it myself. That's not the case, right? This ecstatic feeling is for others, oftentimes, as much as it is for ourselves. You see, in this verse, Mary needed some encouragement. The Holy Spirit moves on Elizabeth and she offers it. And we see here in verse 48, "For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed." She's already believed in the Lord. But now, with this confirmation, she speaks it back to herself. She's already received the promise of God. She's committed to it. She's been faithful to it. She knows that God's made the promise. She's sticking to it. But after this confirmation that she gets from Elizabeth, then she speaks it back to herself. She's like, "That's right. I did receive this revelation. That's right. I am blessed of God." And this is not boasting. All right? This is not like, "Look how cool I am. Generations of people are going to call me blessed. Catholics are going to make an entire theology out of me." You know? That's not what she's saying here. This is just praying back the promises of God. Deanna and I have done, like, I guess you would call it like prayer training a few times at different places and things like that, like how to pray in different ways and so on and so forth. And one of those is praying back the promises of God, saying them out loud in prayer, praying the scriptures and just repeating, you know, these things that God has promised, whether in the Bible or to us personally. Now, again, disclaimer, this is not prosperity gospel stuff I'm talking about here, all right? This is not like, you know, like, "Praise God for the private plane that you're going to be giving me next week," you know, that not that kind of thing, all right? We're not talking about material recompense and so on and so forth. This is, "Thank you, Lord, for completing the work that you began in me. I'm thanking you, Lord, for the promise of the service that you're going to draw me into. Thank you for that blessing. Hasn't happened yet. I know it's going to. And I'm praising you, God, for that now." It's like we talked 2 weeks ago. You know, if it's the Lord's will, I will go and do this. If it's the Lord's will, I will be here. If it's the Lord's will, I will work at this place, or so on and so forth, right? It's about praying that back. It's about praying back those promises of God. That's what Mary does. You see here in verse 49, "For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name." She's specific here. "For me. The Lord has done great things for me." What great things has happened so far? The great things haven't happened yet. Jesus is not born. Christ's ministry has not begun. You know, she's not received salvation through Christ yet. These great things haven't happened, but she's believing. And one other thing, and this is important. In the fullness of time, what are these great things that she's blessed with? Let's think about it. She sees her son tortured, crucified, and watches him die. That's the great thing. That's the great blessing she's thanking God for right now. These blessings are not always easy. The promises of God are not always comfortable. Sometimes these blessings can seem like a curse. Or it begins out looking great, but then it doesn't end how we want it to. But the promise of God is fulfilled. In Mary's case, and in ours. But she begins praising God for the fulfillment of this promise that's not even yet fulfilled. You know, in last week's sermon, when Clement was talking about the difference between stress and pressure, and I got the chance to shoot at Adrian, that was a lot of fun, by the way. I gotta tell you, the girls were really disappointed that I missed that apple. I was like, "Oh, I shot an apple, tried to shoot an apple off Uncle Adrian's head. Like, did you hit it?" I was like, "No." They were so disappointed. So we gotta start practicing now so I can do that for them later. But in this instance with Mary, this is not stress or pressure. She is believing in the promise of God. Simply saying, it's just out of her hands. She's received the promise of God, so she's just left it over. There it is. I know God is going to fulfill this promise, so I'm handing it over. And it's her laying at the foot of the cross. Or it will be the foot of the cross. But see, the key is this doesn't stay self-focused. It starts out there. It starts out about the promises that she's received. But that's not where it stays. Let's go to verse 50. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. She includes all people. See, this is the difference between what we're talking about here and like prosperity gospel, right? It begins with her promise, with what's going on with her, but then it extends to all of God's kingdom. It goes on to God's plan for everybody. It's not about, you know, our house or our car or our blessing for this or believing God for a raise at work so I can buy new shoes, that kind of thing. She acknowledges that the blessing is not for her alone. She's going to be receiving this blessing, but it's not just for her. There is purpose beyond herself. Again, 2 weeks ago, and we talked about that, right? If it's the Lord's will. If you begin the statement with, if it's the Lord's will, your odds that you're going to choose something selfish are greatly decreased. Right? Kind of takes you out of the picture and puts God in the driver's seat. It's not about us. Then she goes on to talk about who the Lord is. Praising God for who God is. See, in verse 51, he has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. She reminds herself of who the Lord is. God is mighty and God is involved. It's a God who is present and active. He knows the hearts of people, their innermost thoughts. This is not a God in an ivory tower disconnected from us. This is a God who is in our everyday lives, a powerful and mighty God, and not just in our lives as some kind of addition on the side, not some kind of demigod who can come around with a certain amount of power and move people around. This God knows people's innermost thoughts. It's a God in your heart and a God who's powerful and mighty. And go on to verses 52 to 53. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. This is a powerful God concerned with justice. A God who blesses those who honor him. A God unconcerned with wealth or status. A God who would bless a poor girl with no power. These are important reminders for her. She needs to hear these things. A lot of you have been in our flat and you've seen the poster that Deanna made that has like all the names of God on it. It was like a 5-hour art project that she had done where it's like different scripts and colors and things like that. But it's like, you know, like Jehovah Rapha and Jehovah Jireh and things like that. It tells you all the names of God, so it reminds you of all the things that God's done. God is a God who heals, God is the God who provides, God is the eternal counselor. It's something that lets us know who God is. If I'm having like a rough day and I'm just like, oh man, my supervisor is just banging my head against the wall. I'm just kidding. He doesn't do that. But if I'm having a rough day, sometimes I can go in there and I can just look at that poster and be like, that's right. God's got this. Put my head down, get back to work. God's got the important things. It reminds me of who God is in the world and in my life in particular. That's what she's doing here. She's reminding herself what God has done for her and for the whole nation of Israel. You see, in verses 54 and 55, he has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. She remembers what God has done. We need this suit sometimes. We need to remind ourselves of God's promises. It's oftentimes when we're scared or we're in a depressed kind of a funk Or like I mentioned before, if I'm having a bad day and I go look at the poster. We do it when we feel lonely or we feel like we need God. We remind ourselves of God's presence. And that's fine. I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But we should also do it when we're praising God. When we're worshiping the Lord, when we're spending time in prayer, or we're spending time worshiping and playing music and dancing or what have you, whatever it is, remembering all the things that God has done. Like, that's right. This is my God. My God has done these things. For thousands of years, God has been involved. God has done mighty deeds. We should remind ourselves of this in a positive way as well. Not just as a security blanket, but as a way to praise God for who God is. The faithfulness of God, not just to us, but to the world. See, all the things that God has done for the nations. And again, this is not self-focused, right? She's offering glory to God for what God has done. And she ends with here in verse 56. And Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. Now, this might seem like a throwaway line. You know, it's like, and then she wrapped up and went home. You know, it seems kind of somebody needed to wrap up the story, and they put like a the end on it, right? You'd be tempted to kind of skip this part, you know? She stayed for about 3 months, and then she left. But there's something important here, too. Because you see, she was with Elizabeth for 3 months. She was with somebody who understood and who encouraged and believed her. Right? The town she left, no one believed her. No one was like, yeah, okay, yeah, obviously that's God filling you with the Holy Spirit. Of course it is, right? She left and she went to stay with her cousin. Her cousin greeted her with this revelation. It's like, yes, I believe you. I know it's true. God did this. You are blessed. So on and so forth. Good times. So she stays with this woman for 3 months. Someone who's lifting her up. The whole time, probably. Supporting her, encouraging her. This would be kind of like going on a retreat. You know? And you get filled, you get encouraged. You may want to stay for a little bit longer, but eventually you have to go home. And that's the hard part. One of the companies that I used to work for was called Ruby Tuesdays. And they had a hunting lodge retreat for like executive management. You know, like the top guys that made all the money. But when you signed on with them as a manager, sometime in your first year, you got to go spend a week at this retreat. They called it WOW U, like WOW University, WOW U. It was catchy at the time. In any case, so you go and you spend, like during the day, you take classes, you know, like on, you know, managing your P&L and managing inventory levels and human resource conferences and time management and all that kind of stuff like that. But in the evenings, you got the evenings free. And this is really, really well-appointed hunting lodge. Like, the sheets are all, like, Ralph Lauren. And there's a big bonfire outside, a big fire inside. It's like a four-star resort. There's a three-star Michelin chef there that cooked all of our meals for us, like breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And during this whole time, this whole week you're there, you have all these corporate gurus who are just, their entire job is just to pump you up, just to get you all hyped up about the company. Like, oh, this is the greatest company ever. It's almost like a cult. And like by the end of the week, you're like, yeah, this is the greatest company ever. You know, you're all filled up with it. You're all pumped up. You're all encouraged. You're all ready to go change the world. And the last meeting they have with you, the public speaker guy comes out and says, now look, you spent the last week getting your balloon all filled up. Sorry about the balloon analogy. Get your balloon all filled up. When you go back to your restaurants, you're going to be tempted just to let all the air out the first opportunity you get. The first guest interaction you have, the first time you have to counsel an employee, you're just going to take all this enthusiasm and just blah, dump it out all over them. But then your balloon's going to be empty. Or you're going to go back and you're going to be filled up and puffed up and ready to go, and someone's going to say something like, oh, he was just at that corporate retreat, just ignore him. And your balloon gets popped. So the key is to take your balloon full of energy and just let out a little bit at a time. So you have this interaction with the guest. You let out a little bit of enthusiasm there. You have an interaction with an employee. You let out a little bit over there. Just a little bit here, a little bit there. And then that big balloon that you came in with will have a massive impact all across all your operations. So that's the advice that I would give you about this filling of the Holy Spirit. Because the praise that comes with it, the ecstatic feeling, the indwelling, the part where you get lifted up, you need to bring that experience home. Maybe not in a literal sense. Maybe you haven't left your house yet. Maybe you had the feeling here at church, or maybe you had it at a worship service or something else like that. But you need to bring that ecstatic experience, that indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that word of revelation or whatever it is, you need to bring into your life, into your work, into your family, into your relationships, into your friends, whatever it is that you're doing. And it doesn't have to be a big gesture necessarily, right? It doesn't have to be like, I feel indwelled for the Holy Spirit, I'm going to dance down the middle of the aisle and hang from the chandeliers, or I'm going to go shout praise Jesus down the street or anything else like that. It doesn't have to be a real big thing. You can just take your balloon and just a little bit here and a little bit there. Next time you have a conversation with your spouse or your kids or your friend, let a little bit out. A little bit of extra love, a little bit of extra encouragement, a little bit of extra understanding. Put yourself in the back seat for a little bit. Like, you know what? Let me do this for you. Because I feel this indwelling, this Holy Spirit filling me up. Let me share some of that with you. Because when the Spirit moves, you need to embrace it. Because it should have an effect. And the effect is not going to be just for you. Because it happens for a reason. We see with Elizabeth, she's filled with the Holy Spirit. She gets a word of revelation, but it's not for her. It's for Mary. So you can feel it. You can take it in. You can let it affect you. And then let it affect others. To the praise and the glory of God. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for the wonderful opportunity you give us to take part in your holy presence, Lord. We thank you for the Holy Spirit being here and amongst us, God. We pray, Lord, that as we leave here and we go into our week and we get back into the busy day-to-day operations of our lives and all the distractions and the various different things that we're called to, Lord, we just pray that you would just fill us up with your Holy Spirit and guide and direct and order our steps, Lord, so that we may bless others with the blessings you have given us to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.